As I mentioned at the beginning of this Mass, we, together with the rest of the Catholic Church across the world, are marking this Sunday as the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And it is very fitting for us to pray for vocations on this day because of the Gospel reading we have today on Jesus being the Good Shepherd. And certainly, the image of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, most immediately and directly applies itself to the image of priests being shepherds, of pastors of their flock entrusted to them. But within this gospel passage, I think we can find a kernel of the beauty of really these vocations that have in common this call to a generous and generative celibacy. As Christ says in the second to last line here today, I have power to lay it down, that is his life, and power to take it up again. He is speaking about the Paschal mystery, in which he will lay down his life upon the cross, entrusted to his Father, but also he has the power to take it up again in the glory of the resurrection. To lay down his life for his sheep and to emerge victorious to show off his power. By virtue of our baptism, all of us Christians participate in the Paschal mystery, in this dynamic of dying and rising to new life. The notion of the resurrection, of being raised bodily from the grave, of having an eternal life that is actually better than our current life, is something truly remarkable, in many ways unprecedented. Even for the Jewish people of the time of Jesus, they did not even agree whether or not there was a resurrection. We know the Pharisees and the Sadducees, oftentimes Jesus would debate with them. The Pharisees believed in life after death. The Sadducees did not. Oftentimes when other cultures even admitted of the possibility of life after death, they kind of thought of it as a shadowy underworld where there was really nothing better than our current life. And that would lead one to the conclusion that this life on earth is the best life. You have to live it up now because you won't have another chance in the future. And then there's other cultures that believe in reincarnation, that doesn't believe in an afterlife per se, but only a continuous cycle, again and again and again. But the resurrection of Jesus points us the way forward in a definitive way, to say that we have one life on earth, and that after this life on earth, if we are faithful to God and we unite ourselves to him, it actually gets better. We are invited to live in the glory of heaven, of perfect union with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a perfect communion of persons existing from all eternity. And we are invited into that. Those called to these vocations marked by celibacy, of foregoing the true good of married life, these people, whether they be ordained priests, consecrated religious brothers or sisters, consecrated virgins, they all hold in common being what we would call an eschatological sign. It's kind of a big theological term, eschatological, but really eschatological means looking towards the end times, looking towards the future, when God's reign will be completely manifest, in which God's kingdom will come in its glory. And this sign, the life of a young man or a young woman, or for that matter, a devoted priest or elderly nun who has lived their whole life in fidelity to Jesus and the church, this sign is something that is odd in the face of the world, which prioritizes the pleasures of earth, of having to find one's own human partner in life or partners to find some satisfaction or relief in what otherwise may be a meaningless world that focuses on being productive in the eyes of the world and holding power. But in accord with the wisdom of the world, these priests, these religious brothers and sisters, they seem to be foolish. They seem to be powerless. They seem to be really being self-hateful for denying themselves the goods of a spouse or children or a successful career. And that is precisely why the lives of these men and women stand as great signs for us of what is at the core of our Christian faith, that of the resurrection, which changes everything, which gives us the freedom to hold out in hope and in joy for the fullness of delight and satisfaction and happiness that comes from God and God alone. And yes, this is a unique call, a specific call, a call that should not be seen as necessarily superior or denigrating towards those who are called to married life. For indeed, those called to married life, to be spouses, to be Christian parents, are also called with a cosmic reality in mind, knowing that the children that they raise are not simply to be their own children, but truly new members of the church. But nevertheless, the church sees a great need for us to pray for vocations to the priesthood and religious life, because it is precisely such a countercultural call and such an important sign to see in the midst of the world. It's true that not everyone is called to be a priest or religious brother or sister, but there are certainly some of us who are and have been. And God invites these men and women to answer boldly and generously and with great faith, to lay down their lives, as it were, and to take it up again. But we know that these priests and religious brothers and sisters can't do it on their own. They are not God. They don't have the authority to lay down their life and sacrifice it and then take it back again. Rather, it is precisely by being united with Jesus that they lay down their life. They lay down the goods of what otherwise they may have on this earth in order to take it up again in glory. For priests who receive the sacrament of holy orders, and they are configured to Christ in a unique way. Christ the priest, Christ the victim, who offers himself as a sacrifice for the redemption of the church. For those men and women called to religious life, they unite themselves almost in a spousal kind of way to be so devoted to our Lord that they find their life in him, in a way that may be roughly analogous to how a man or woman would find their delight, their primary love in their spouse. All this hinges upon the truth of the resurrection, the notion that we have life after death, and that life is promised to be better than what we have even now. And so those priests and those men, women, and men and women religious make that sacrifice to be that sign to the rest of us. And while being that sign, they are called to service, to empower the rest of the church to see what it means to be lived out, those virtues of faith, hope, and especially charity. This is not to say that we need to leave professional Catholicism, as it were, to the priests and to the religious, and to say that father or sister will take care of evangelizing the culture, or of leading this person into the church, or helping my estranged loved one come back to church. Frankly, we can't rely solely upon priests and religious to do that. But we, as priests and religious, are standing there and living here to support you precisely in your role as members of the church at large, oftentimes on the periphery, on the leading edge of the church, going into workplaces and unexpected situations and different encounters where priests or religious cannot necessarily be. And while you may find yourself face to face with difficult circumstances, the challenges of holding, standing up to your conscience and your Catholic values, supporting you, praying for you, ministering to you with the sacraments, are these men and these women who've been called to these lives of service. We cannot take these vocations for granted. Earlier today at the 9 and the 11, the church is much more full with especially younger families, and my prayer is that within the next 2 decades or so, that you have some glorious first masses and maybe some celebrations of young men and women answering the calls to the priesthood and to the religious life from this very parish. But I think that call, that invitation, ought to be reiterated even at this Mass, because I see that there are still some people here who have not yet discovered their vocation in life. Those men and women, boys and girls, whose call is a mystery. So I encourage you today, as you receive the Blessed Sacrament, consecrated humbly through the hands of a lowly priest, that you consider what it means to be united to Jesus in your life, to ask yourself the question, Lord, who are you calling me to be? How are you asking me to give of myself in love? And if it is the case that God is calling you to be a priest, a religious brother, a religious sister, pray for the courage to say yes to that call.